If you want peace, work for justice. It's a famous phrase that Pope Paul VI said in his speech on January 1st, the day of world peace, 1971. If you want peace, work for justice. It was an important message and phrase that captured well his idea, because at that time the Cold War was only growing. We had just narrowly escaped nuclear war with the embargo to Cuba by the U.S. naval forces as Russian ships approached carrying more nuclear weapons, in addition to what was already in Cuba, pointed toward South Florida, Washington, D.C., etc. You may recall, if you were alive in the 60s, how close we came to an all-out nuclear war. Both nations, the Soviet Union and the United States, having enough nuclear warheads to destroy the Earth many times over. This Cold War, as it was called, was such because there wasn't active conflict, destruction, and death, but we were so close to total annihilation, the tensions were so great, that it very much was a war. If you want peace, work for justice. Peace is not the absence of war. Peace is not the oppression of one people by a stronger people. Peace is not the deterrent of war because one nation is capable of destroying everybody else. Peace is not us at the dinner table refusing to talk about politics, religion, grandma, grandpa, our cousins, what happened last year. That's not peace. That's just controlled attention. If you want peace, work for justice. You know, in the first reading today, we hear of Jerusalem being called the city of justice, the Lord our justice. Now, Jerusalem literally means foundation of peace. Salem or Shalom means peace. Jerusalem being the foundation of peace. But the prophet Jeremiah says they will call Jerusalem the Lord our justice. This idea that if Jerusalem's really going to be a place of peace, it's going to be because there is justice in the land. Now, justice is not vengeance. No. Hollywood makes millions and millions of dollars selling movies where the hero is the one who comes to bring vengeance. You did this to me, I'm going to do worse to you, and then everything will be fine. That's not real. That's not true. That never happens. Justice is not vengeance. We think, my cousin did this to me, my aunt did that to me, my dad did this to me, I'm going to get him back. Again, that's not justice, that's vengeance. Vengeance is a capital sin, a serious sin, one of the serious sins that lead to death, along with wrath and anger, part of that vice. No, justice is not vengeance. It's not getting equal. It's giving to the other person their due. You know, when we practice religion, according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, religion is actually an act of justice. When we practice religion, we are giving to God what is his due, all worship, adoration, glory, praise, thanksgiving. It's giving to God his due. It's about a relationship, but it is in fact an act of justice, true religion. In a similar way, we're called to be just with one another. Thanks be to God, first and foremost, God is merciful to us beyond just. We don't get what we deserve in justice. We get what he has earned for us in Christ Jesus. And so we respond in kind, not by just being just, but being merciful and gracious, treating other people the way not they deserve, but as we should after the example of Christ Jesus. So justice is really giving the person their due. When people are hungry and we have more than enough to eat, it's not an act of charity to give them food. It's justice. When we have more than enough clothes and our neighbor is cold and has nothing to wear, sharing with them our clothes is not an act of charity. It's an act of justice. We have too much, they have too little. We must help. Acts of justice also manifest themselves in our home. A parent should love their child. A parent should be involved in a child's life. That's not being gracious or charitable. That's just being a parent. A sibling should be kind and gracious to their siblings. That's not an act of charity. That's just being a brother or a sister. You know, when we're walking down the street and a neighbor, a stranger passes by us and they don't look at us, they don't greet us, they don't say hello, they don't give us a hug, we don't think anything of it. They're a stranger. We don't know them. Why should they? But if our best friend, our mom, our brother or sister walks right past us on the street and doesn't look at us, doesn't say anything to us, and ignores us completely, we're hurt. They didn't do anything to us. They didn't say anything mean. They didn't push us or punch us. Why would we be hurt? Because we expect to know that that's our friend, our family member. They should greet us in justice. We're relatives. And the fact that they didn't, we experience as a hurt, an abuse. For kids, oftentimes today, they experience the trauma of the absence of affection in their lives. As we as adults grow up in many ways in the same way, the absence of affection that should be our due, and kindness and love and feeling safe and being taught and spending time with our parents and our parents asking us about our lives and helping us progress is a just expectation of a child from their parents. But for many reasons, we didn't experience that. Our parents were too busy. They both worked 60 hours a week, or we grew up in a single parent home and mom or dad were just barely struggling to survive and get us through it, enough to eat and have a roof over our heads. There was no time, it seemed, for how's your homework, how's school, tell me about your life, a hug, a kiss, I love you, being present at our sports games or school functions. And that absence of our parents in our lives, we experience as a trauma. What should be there wasn't. If you want peace, work for justice. And then later on, as we grow older, our kids grow up and they become intolerable, unbearable. Now they're teenagers, and all those years of feeling ignored comes to the fore, and their anger, their rage, their frustration, their self-destruction, right? And their acts for attention that are usually negative and hurtful to them or to others. And then we react to the extreme. We give them all the attention in the world, but not the good kind. And then eventually they leave, and Thanksgiving and Christmas become awkward at best, if not altogether alone at worst, because they will not come or we will not go. You know, justice is not us sitting around the Thanksgiving table and Christmas having family in town and avoiding war. Justice is reconciliation, asking for forgiveness. Justice is caring about the other and showing that their life is important to you and your life is important to them. When that happens, then there's real peace. They called Jerusalem, the foundation of peace, the Lord our justice, because they knew that if the peace was going to last in Jerusalem, and it certainly hasn't and isn't today, it would be because of justice. Think about the Holy Land right now. There's a truce from war. There's no peace. Until there's justice for everyone, the Palestinian and the Israeli, those in the West Bank and in the country of Israel, those in Gaza and Lebanon, until there is justice, there will never be peace. And so as we celebrate this Advent season and we reflect on Christ coming in history and his return one day in majesty and glory and power, as we heard in the gospel, we encounter him right now in mystery. Christ is present in his word. Christ is present in the Eucharist above all. And the Son of Man who comes will be, for those who believe and practice justice, a cause for peace, not for dying of fright and shaken to the core. For those who work for justice, you know the Prince of Peace, and his coming in glory and majesty will be the cause for us to stand erect, to raise our heads as an act of hope, because we know redemption is finally at hand. Those who have done wrong will experience justice for their actions. I don't need to do that. I can love them anyway, are my enemy, and those who do me harm, because Christ is my justice. And they will get what is their due based on their life and their actions, as will I. Conscious of that truth, believing in Jesus, I go to confession frequently so that his justice will be a cause of joy for me, not of fright and condemnation. And as well, so that I can, in receiving forgiveness from Christ regularly in the sacrament of confession, show that same forgiveness toward those who do me harm, putting up boundaries, requiring justice when I'm living with someone who's an addict, abusive in some way, calling the police, reporting it, establishing those boundaries that are necessary so that there can be peace. But at the end of the day, looking to Christ as my peace, because I'm working toward justice. I'm making amends for the wrong I've done. I'm helping others. I'm loving them as I should, because only then can we experience the peace that we long for. You know, it was an act of God, thanks to the involvement of Pope St. John Paul II and President Ronald Reagan at the time, that the Soviet Union fell without a bullet being fired or a nuclear warhead going off. That was an act of God. But the fall of the Soviet Union, while it ended the, quote, Cold War, did not bring peace. We see that now with Russia and Putin and the tensions that continue to boil to the top with them and Iran and North Korea. The global tensions, the election, the change of power here in this country and how that will affect our relationship with others reminds us that there is not peace yet in the world. For our part, we must work toward justice. And that begins at home. Giving to our spouse, our children, our parents, our grandchildren, the attention they deserve, the attention that ought to be theirs, the love and the affection that is required of such relationships. Because ultimately, as Pope Paul VI said on January 1st, 1971, if you want peace, work for justice. If Christmas will be a time of peace, make justice your aim during these 4 weeks of Advent.